The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now an evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, over the next four Sundays, we will be looking at four miracles of Jesus by the sea. They have not only internal unity, but also follow the liturgy. The location of each of the sermons is the Sea of Galilee, from early in the Saviour's public ministry through to one of his post-resurrection appearances. Today, we will see that Christ triumphs over human weaknesses. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, do we see God in little situations? A good part of our failure as followers of Christ lies, it seems, in our ability to see our mighty Saviour as one who is interested and capable of helping us in the little situations of everyday life. Often our thoughts of God in relation to our needs are on such a grand scale that we think that the ordinary problems of today have no place in the picture. Quite readily, we see Jesus stretched in agony on the cross for our sins. But we cannot so readily see him concerned about how we are going to make the paycheck reach to pay the bills, or how we are going to manage through a long layoff period. We have difficulty seeing the great God of our salvation being concerned about why the boss does not agree with our idea, but instead giving acceptance to a lesser idea than our own. We don't see God concerned over a neighbourhood dispute. We don't see him anxious over a marital squabble. But the greatness of God of our salvation lies in this, that he can be, and is, concerned about the minute problems in our everyday lives. God assures us that the divine inventory of our makeup is very carefully made, numbering the very hairs of our heads. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus Christ, as the one who in every respect was tempted as we are, is able to sympathise with our weaknesses. He knows human weakness and is in sympathy with us. The fact that we often fail to find help from such a mighty and yet sympathetic God lies not with God's inability, but with our little faith. Our faith does not match the potential of God's help. We forget, for the moment, that he is almighty and that he is interested in every detail and every problem of our lives. With us there is often little faith, but with him there is always great power to help, even in our weaknesses. This we learn from looking to the shore of the Sea of Galilee and seeing how Jesus demonstrated in a miraculous way that Christ triumphs over human weakness. Secondly, human weakness needs divine help. The littleness of faith is dramatised in many situations. Weakness of faith was dramatised at that moment out there on the Sea of Galilee when, way past midnight, Peter sees a gust of wind and is afraid. He began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." And this cry serves to highlight what was so much in evidence at the time in Jesus' Galilean ministry, littleness of faith all around him. So many things demonstrated the little faith of those around Jesus. His own countrymen in the Galilee area took offence at him and would not believe, so that Jesus marvelled because of their unbelief. The multitudes that came along the north shore of the sea to follow on foot in the general direction of the ship in which Jesus travelled appeared to the master as sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus taught them. He healed their sick. And he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But then they misunderstood him and wanted to make him king. So he had to send them away. How little did his patient instruction, his healing hand, and his blessing of the loaves mean to them when the day was ended. No doubt when Jesus went up into the hills by himself to pray that night, this grossly materialistic multitude was a burden of much of his praying. The same day, the disciples of John were faced with a grave crisis in their lives. John the Baptist was executed by the spineless Herod. They had performed the sad but loving task of committing his body to the ground. When that was done, they came and told Jesus. Without doubt, Jesus knew of the problems and the doubts that now tortured their minds. And we can hardly doubt that Jesus' prayer on the mountain that night was for these disciples of John also. His own disciples had just returned from a preaching mission that day. They had been very busy casting out demons, anointing the sick with oil, and healing them, and preaching repentance. Now as they came to Jesus, they were just bubbling over with so many experiences to tell him. Listening to them, Jesus invites them to come away by themselves to a lonely place and rest a while. Jesus knew what they did not know just then, that to continue in their active ministry, to face the many challenges of tomorrow, to meet the problems and not fail, they needed the strength that can be found only in quiet communion with God. Perhaps they didn't realise this at the time. They didn't see the greatness of their need or the littleness of their faith until the events of that evening and the early morning hours unfolded before them. The very first thing that happened after their proposed retreat had been interrupted by the following multitude was that the disciples found themselves completely unable to relate Jesus' help to an ordinary problem of life. In fact, they thought of every other possibility but Jesus' help. One thought was to send the crowd away to the villages before night closed in. Then they also examined their resources and came up with a despairing answer that their treasure was insufficient to feed so many people, even if there was a source of bread at hand. They were stumped because they failed to take into consideration their greatest source of help, their Lord, the very Son of God. And then the abundance of his provision, 12 baskets full of leftovers, surely must have shamed them for their littleness of faith. Later on, the angry sea, the disciples had been making little headway against the contrary wind. Almost exhausted with rowing through most of the night, they suddenly were confronted with the unexpected and, for a time, the unknown. They thought that they had seen a ghost, but really it was Jesus walking on the water toward them. What was the result? They were terrified. They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus demonstrated that he could cope with the unexpected and the unknown. He called out, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." How foolish they must have felt to have momentarily feared the appearance of Jesus, who alone could calm their fears in the face of the terrible and the unknown. Then there was Peter's demonstration of boldness of faith at first, and then his littleness of faith. When he asked permission to go out on the water with Jesus, permission was granted. But a sudden gust of wind on the stormy lake blew a big hole in Peter's faith. His confidence was shaken. He began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately he was pulled back to the surface by Jesus, who was supported there by his own almighty power. And as they walked together to the ship, how very sheepish Peter must have appeared to the others for not remembering out there that even the wind and the sea obey him. But Peter and the others are really no different from us, perhaps somewhat in degree, but not in kind. For it is our faith too that is found to be little when we fail to call on the Helper that stands always ready with his help. We fail when we assume that Christ is insufficient for or inattentive to our daily needs. We give evidence of this failure of our faith when we do not offer up to him in prayer each day's problems, asking his divine guidance and help in our work, in the management of our household, in our social relationships, in family cares, and in our personal problems. Do we turn to Jesus at the beginning of each day, as we ought, with the request that we may be kept from all sin and evil, so that in all our thoughts, words and deeds we may please thee, as we pray in Luther's morning prayer? What about the unknown and the unseen? By these we mean the problems, real or imagined, that lie ahead in the weeks and months to come. Do we commend our future days into the hands of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today and forever? And when the day of our imagined trouble arrives, how often are we, like the disciples on the lake, put to shame by the sudden realisation that we need not be afraid, but can take heart because Christ is present with us? How often do we not despair of help, as did Peter, sure that we are sinking and sure that the world is too much against us? We see the forces of nature, or the mounting pressures of daily life, or the overpowering forces of sin closing in on our hearts, and our hearts are terrified. Why? Because we forget momentarily that Jesus, who can help, is by our side at all times. Jesus, who calmed the storm and who lifted Peter from the cold depths of the Sea of Galilee. The wonder is that God can still use us as we are, with all our weaknesses and failings, and that he still wants us and yearns for us. Yet he could take Peter and Philip and Andrew and make of them apostles, his own ambassadors. He calls us his children, although we have time and time proved disobedient and unfaithful. And more, he offers to the world the treasures of the gospel in earthen vessels like you and me, who are so easily chipped and cracked around the edges of our faith. Have you ever wondered why God entrusts to us, who are so often negligent and insufficient for our task, the responsibility of proclaiming the news that angels would be honoured and delighted to bring to men? The only answer to this riddle is the revelation that he loved us and gave himself for us, so that he might sanctify and cleanse us and present us before himself in splendour, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Furthermore, this brings us to our third point. He wants us always to be reminded of our own insufficiency and of the sufficiency that we can find in him. So thirdly, our divine helper is sufficient for all our needs. There are two pictures as a reminder of his help. Christ, our helper, wants us to keep these two pictures of this gospel in mind and to remember that he can triumph over all human weaknesses. Firstly, we see Christ in solitary prayer. We see Jesus in solitary prayer for you and for me. Often when the events of the day crowded in on him, he left off his busy ministry of preaching and healing to retreat to a quiet place for prayer. Now we must see Jesus as our divine intercessor, the one who knows all our burdens and problems. And as we pray, he prays with us at the right hand of God, interceding for us before the Father's throne. But do we retreat with him in prayer? Do we seek his help for the vexing problems of today? If Jesus found repeated retreats for prayer necessary in his ministry, should we not all the more feel the need for seeking his strength and help in prayer today? Secondly, look at this picture also. Jesus appearing as if from nowhere to reach out his hand and to help in time of need. When the disciples were terrorized by what they thought was a ghost, their hearts were comforted to realize suddenly that Jesus was there. And when Peter was sinking, Jesus was right there at his side to reach out a rescuing hand. So likewise, we need to live with the consciousness of Jesus' presence always. We need the constant assurance that with him, in the ship of our life, the fury of the winds of doubt and despair subside and our soul is at peace. With Jesus in command, the ship of our life sails on serenely, for he reminds us, I am with you always. As he assured those disciples then, it is I, do not be afraid. Do we not hear Jesus appeal to us as if he was standing beside us today? As we read in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And with outstretched hand, he assures us, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. When we must accuse ourselves of our little faith, let us remember to turn in prayer to Jesus, who is truly the Son of God, and we shall find in him an ever-present help in all our weaknesses. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.